Hey, I'm Chris. Thank you for joining us on the Southwest Florida Business Podcast. And today I'm joined by Melissa Severance from Inspire Big Dreams. And she does training and coaching with executive teams, people that take on new executive roles and are stepping up into a higher position and really need to know all the aspects of that role and how to actually take that on and do it successfully. And then she also works with individuals who are trying to hit specific goals. And one of the things that I really like about her approach is how mindfulness plays into that. So you'll hear it throughout the conversation, but we really dig into what mindfulness is, some of the ways that she incorporates that into the training, and how she uses that to actually teach people to be more self-aware, to understand who they are, their strengths, their weaknesses, and then bring that to a team setting in order to improve their work environment, to avoid burnout. And we talk about all these things like quiet quitting, everything along those lines that you're seeing now in the workforce. So I'm really excited to share this episode with you. I know there's a huge reminder for me in terms of what I need to think about as I grow this business and I start to step more into a leadership role. And really everything that goes along with that. So I'm glad I can get this reminder. And I hope that you enjoy this episode. So without further ado, please enjoy this episode with Melissa from Inspire Big Dreams. Woo! This episode is brought to you by Southwest Florida Podcasts. If you're a business in Southwest Florida and you want to use a podcast to grow your business, scan the QR code on your screen or visit the link in the show notes at www.swflpodcast.com. Enjoy the show. All right. Well, thank you for joining me. I appreciate it.
Yeah,
so
Chris.
Let's dig into it. So Let's talk about Inspire Big Dreams. I'd like to ask you what it is, what you do, and then I'm excited because I have a bunch of questions for you that are going to pop up as we go through. So let's kick it off there and see where
absolutely.
It goes.
Absolutely. Hi, everyone. I'm Melissa Severance, and I'm the owner of Inspire Big Dreams Coaching and Consulting. So I'm an executive coach, leadership coach, career coach. So I do all three. I also do team coaching and group coaching. I'm an HR consultant. I also do customized corporate training and speaking. So I have a lot of variety of things I do, but overall, I'm just trying to make a difference to all my clients. I work with executive entrepreneurs, teams, emerging leaders, and organizations really to transform and inspire them for change and to meet their goals and big dreams.
Okay, nice. So how did you get into this?
You know what? This is kind of my third chapter in my career. Started off as an accountant. Knew I loved to be around people, but didn't love the numbers.
Wait, you didn't love accounting?
No, I didn't love accounting, surprisingly. It wasn't for me. I always loved talking to my clients, but not working on the computer. So I had to find something more people-oriented. So I went to an accounting consulting firm, and they luckily let me go right into HR, which was great. And it grew from 100 to 1,000 people while I was there. So I got to see it transform and change from the HR perspective amazingly. Operations, everything. It was just a really nice ride and really gave me the foundation for what I'm doing now, actually, as an entrepreneur.
Okay.
And then during that, did a lot of leadership development for our whole firm, employee engagement, which I'm really passionate about, team building, and kind of brought that into doing my own thing. I was there for 15 plus years, did a lot of great things. Did a lot of great things that they needed, but I was ready to do things for myself that I was passionate about. And, you know, we actually did this, they called it learning circles. So it was kind of like group coaching, but we had the whole firm divided into groups and we tried it out. And I don't think our culture was ready for that at the time, but I loved it. And it really got me into like thinking about coaching. So when my firm was kind of going from national to regional and things were changing for me, I kind of realized that this is the time for me to take my own jump, leap, and go after my dreams and go back to school for a little bit and get my certification in coaching and then do all this other stuff in leadership development that I have passion for and that I really enjoy.
Okay. Yeah. And so when you're at this company and it's growing and scaling and you're trying these new things out, what What was it that first made you say, okay, we should try these new strategies out? What were those? And then what was the response that you got when you first started implementing this stuff?
You know what? We were very lucky that our CEO was such a visionary and he always had great ideas and wanted to do crazy good things, but different things, and kind of forced us into them a little bit by saying we can do it, giving us encouragement. You know, so our leadership development program that I built with him was one of my favorite things in my career, and kind of doing that and seeing that where it is today, the whole firm's involved. They do it quarterly. They have amazing speakers come that you would know every name of the person that comes in, and then everything in between to keep the leadership development up. And then trying something like that, the learning circles, or trying anything, you know, that they would, you know, we have our people do sales and marketing and recruiting for us. And a lot of places, you can't get your employees to do that, even though they're doing accounting work. But here, they wanted to do that. So it was really exciting to see that. And I think because we allowed all of our employees to be entrepreneurial, it was easy for me to take that leap. Because, you know, I was preaching it every day to do it. You know, I think they call it intra-entrepreneurial.
Intrapreneurial.
Yeah, that's the word. You know, we were really preaching that from the very beginning. So I gradually didn't have much fear about doing this myself.
That's very cool that you're able to kind of build up those skills and then also build up the mindset that it takes to ultimately go out on your own and do it. So what were some of the things that you, when you implemented these changes and you were working with all the people within that company, what were some of the things that you saw? How did it transform? What were the changes that took place? And then how did you kind of see that, okay, this is something that's actually useful. Like this is actually having the intended consequence and this is helping people grow. Like what were some of those things that you saw?
Yeah. I think anytime you bring more learning, growth, leadership development into a firm, you're going to see people more inspired, motivated, and engaged at their job. And that's what I kind of saw. And that's why I kind of bring all those things and now try to infuse it in all I do. You know, I do think coaching works. So I have the mindset of trying to help people with coaching their teams. And I think leadership development, everybody needs to, you know, really focus on their own leadership, their individual leadership, and then they can even be a better leader to others. So I think throughout the time of implementing different things like that, I just noticed that, you know, the extra effort of being with people and really understanding what they need to grow is the most important thing. And helping them go after their dreams. So
sure.
Yeah.
Well, and so for something like that, it's interesting because if you had all this time to do this within a company that was promoting this like intrapreneur, entrepreneur spirit, it's kind of cool because you had all this time to be able to hone these skills and do it. So is it pretty similar when you go work with a business now? Or how do you do it? Are you kind of like implanting yourself into that business almost to recreate that same style that you had before? Or what's the process like?
It can be if I'm doing more HR consulting. On the coaching side, I'm usually working with individuals or teams.
Okay.
So for teams, it's a collective goal that they're all working on to try to get it done more efficiently, more effectively, and work together in more better relationships in the process so they get an even greater result. Individual coaching could be across the board, all different things, depending on what they need and depending on their level. You know, executives are very different than new leaders that are just coming in and managing a team when they never did before.
Sure.
So it's so different. But still, at the end of the day, everybody's kind of trying to get over their fears and just doing their best, and they want to do their best. So a lot of things kind of intertwine, even though you wouldn't think they would.
So when somebody comes to you and they have these goals, but they do have these fears, or they have kind of, I don't know, preconceived notions on why they can't do it or what's holding them back, what are some of the most typical things that you're seeing? I know that's probably a wide variety, but what have you kind of boiled it down to?
Yeah, I think people, you know, have to figure out that thing that's holding them back. You know, at all different times, it might be that they're not ready for something, or they feel they need more education, or they feel they're not up to the skills with this, you know, soft skill or, you know, this hard skill. I think there's always something holding them back, maybe some other responsibilities. Trying to figure that out helps people go forward a lot more. And giving themselves grace and taking chances to fail. I think a lot of people don't do that because they feel like they have to be perfect all the time, but we really don't. We actually learn more from our failures and get further. So figuring that out along the way is very important.
I 100% agree with that because I've learned a lot more from the things that I've messed up on than I have from the successes. Because half the time with the successes, it's – and especially in the business side of things is you do something, the money comes in, the invoice gets paid. You're like, great, I'm on top of the world. I got everything figured out. This is perfect. And then the next person comes to you and is like, hey, this is – the in my case, like – it's actually kind of difficult to use some of the things you sent over. And it's like, wait, what? Your world is shattered. And then, but that's the time where you can kind of regroup and reassess and then dig back in and be like, okay, tell me what the problem is. Tell me what's going on. And then I've like we were talking about before we started rolling, is looking at these things, realizing you have a problem or a roadblock, and then going to a conference. Like I went to Podcast Movement and seeing like, okay, here's how people are doing it. Here's how they're solving it. Let me figure out a way to solve this and then implement it. I guess so. It makes sense that that would be the first thing that you really have to identify is like, what is that roadblock that's holding you back?
And then if you really want it too, there's some people that don't want it. You know, I had one coach ask me for advice a couple weeks ago and she was going over the case with me, you know, confidentially, no names or anything. And I said to her, I'm like, does he really want this promotion? You know, they're giving him this executive coaching, you're doing everything, but he's not doing all the steps. There must be something, you know, that's holding him back. But at the end of the day, it could be that, you know, this is not his role for him. And he knows that. Yeah. So you have to really want something because you have to have passion for it to go after it, these big dreams. So
how do you work with people to help them figure out, one, what they really want to go after, and then what is it like working with you to actually chart that course? What does that look like?
Yeah, I guess throughout the time I'm trying to inspire and motivate them, you know, because I do think sometimes people don't have that cheerleader behind them, somebody to help them saying, yeah, you can do that. And, you know, ask them, do they know anybody else that did this that you're looking like trying to give them reasons why they can also chart that course for themselves and making them be more self-aware of all the great things, all the unique abilities I have that they can use to do this. So there's a lot of self-awareness work that we do, a lot of work on, you know, what would be a needed strategic path forward to do this. You know, you can't just do this overnight. You have to have a plan. What are some baby steps, some things that we can start working on that gets you closer to that? Even if it's not, you know, a huge step, a little step matters. Every little step gets you closer and closer
okay.
to the goal.
So when you're in these spots, right? So it seems like it's less about let me figure out your path for you than it is to let me give you the tools and work with you to be able to figure out your own path and I'll kind of guide you along the way.
Exactly.
So what are some of those, maybe we can dig into some of those tools and like the way that you work with customers. And then I don't want to do examples like current people or anything or anything you don't want to share. But like if we can dive into some examples of how that looks and how you've worked with people in the past, because I think that'll paint a nice picture.
Yeah. I think the last couple of years, a lot of my coaching clients, especially on the high executive side, really wanted to figure out how to communicate better with their team, how to get closer relationship-wise while everybody's working at home. So we would try to figure out how have you approached the conversation? What can you do differently? You know, how could you bring different things to the conversation? We actually talked a lot about there's this concept in HR called stay interviews. It's kind of talking to your team about how they want to prolong and their relationship with the firm and how do they want to get to the next level and what they need, how can I help you? And there's all different other questions too, just to really, instead of saying, how are you doing today? Like the basic questions, you're really getting a little deep. What do you like most about your work? What don't you like? What would you like to do more of? Like asking questions like that, but not doing it at all one setting, but every check-in try to like ask different questions to try to find out more about your employees. So then you can get this information to know, hey, are they really happy at work? How can I make them even more happier? How can I get them more engaged? How can I motivate them more? How can I help with their learning path? Because sometimes we had so much going on that we weren't doing those kind of conversations that we really needed the most.
Did you feel like people were struggling with that more during COVID with the working from home and not having everybody in the office?
Yeah, I think so, because I think sometimes in the office, you have them water cooler conversations to talk about. Things just come up, or after a meeting, you're walking out and you can talk about something that you don't have to wait and schedule another meeting another time, or just don't even mention it. You know, you have these opportunities that you don't working remotely. And I am a big component of working remotely. I love that I can. All of my sessions are pretty much remotely, but on the coaching side. But I do go in now much more for corporate trainings because everybody's coming back to the office. But a lot of companies are still going to have the hybrid or the remote, or even if they come back, there's going to be now more problems with that, more stress with that, because now people have to commute again. People have to, you know, take their kids here and there and go to work. You know, there's a lot more stress coming into the workforce.
Sure. And so what do you think has been the – what's the best way to ask this question? So what's your take on how that's gone and what kind of caused the disconnects between management, employees, or executive leadership than management and then employees? What was kind of the bigger disconnect that you've been seeing over the past couple of years, and how are you seeing that change now?
I think there probably was just so much change, you know, going on at once, and everybody had to deal with it. So I don't think anybody probably could have done it gracefully, what we've been through, but I think people did their best, and that's what I love about it. People did try, but people were going through things professionally and also personally. So I think sometimes, in some cases, some of the leadership didn't go to the personal side when they really needed to help them, and I think that's why the Great Resignation happened. And then people were leaving, and then the workload got really crazy, and then they were working even more. And that's still the case. And then burnout's happening as well. So we went through so many different stages through the last couple of years. And we were just talking about earlier the quiet quitting. That's another one that's coming up really loudly right now. And it might have been around for a little while. And, you know, my perspective is I think it's because of the burnout. I think people are just holding back a little bit because they've been working too much and they need to get back to themselves for self-care and to be able to really survive. You know, it's sad that there's so many people out there burnout.
Well, and I think one thing that COVID did for me when I was working at the last job before I ended up leaving, taking the leap of faith, was kind of stepping back after the initial kind of 6 months of go, make sure we're still bringing in sales, keep the lights on, make sure that money was coming in for the rest of the teams. Yeah. That first 6 months of COVID was very much like all hands on deck as the company had to lay people off. Fortunately, they ended up bringing them back, but it was so much go, go, go. And then like 6 months into it, I think September 2020-ish was the first time we had some room to breathe.
Yeah.
And that was one of the first times when I was ever like, okay, what am I actually doing with my life? It was like a life reevaluation. What am I spending my time doing? Is this the job that I want to be at? Are these people that I want to be working for? Do I want to do something for myself? And that was really the first time I really started to think about that kind of stuff. So what is quiet quitting? And then where do you see it going from here?
Yeah, I think my take on it is people are reevaluating, like you said, their life at work and realizing they can't keep this up anymore. And they're maybe bringing back a little bit some of the work that they're doing so they can have more personal time for themselves and have them breaks and that they need and try to make sure they're not burned out. And maybe not put their hand up for everything because they know it's too much. Maybe start putting boundaries around things that they didn't do before. And when you turn that switch, your leadership's going to know something's going on, you know, because if you were always doing 150% and then maybe just went back to 100, they're going to notice that difference. And I felt like, you know, when I first found mindfulness, in corporate, I felt like that probably happened a little bit for me now that I look back, because I was, you know, taking breaks, having a lot of spaciousness in my calendar because I needed that. But I know I produced better when I had those breaks. I was more on. I was calmer. I wasn't reacting as much. So I feel people are doing all different things, and some of them are doing the quiet and quitting because they know they need to do something. So they can't go on like this. They're burnout.
Okay. So is quiet quitting in that case basically, so it is just the act of kind of stepping back from your work. You're not actually quitting, but you're quitting the previous kind of job or agreements that you had.
And maybe the intensity, possibly. Maybe that's a word for it.
Okay.
You know, some people are saying that they're, you know, tuned out. I don't believe so. I think people are still doing their job. And maybe in some cases they aren't. But what I'm seeing is people are just trying to take care of themselves a little bit more and realizing this job might not be for me. So they might not, you might not be hearing as much from them. They might not be volunteering because they might be looking for a new job because they know they can't keep this up. Or they're trying to keep up this pace and see if it's going to work. You know.
Got it. Almost, yeah, kind of testing the water.
Exactly.
See if I can work at this level and still do the same.
Yeah.
Well, and so you said something interesting was when you kind of brought in the practice of mindfulness, understanding how your days were flowing, what was taking up your time, how you blocked things out, you ended up having more time and space in your calendar, but you got more done and you produced more. So
exactly.
How did that come about? And then what was kind of the realization that made that possible?
Yeah. Well, I actually was going through two big things at once, something personally and professionally. I was going through a divorce suddenly that I didn't know was going to happen with somebody I was with 20 years. So totally changing my life at that point. And at the same time, I got a big promotion that I was looking for that was more responsibility, more direct reports, something I've always wanted that I know I had to be on. And if I wasn't, I wasn't going to be successful at it. So I know dealing with both of them, I wanted to do it the best as possible. So I knew I had to do something a little different. And I was at one of them conferences that you're talking about. And somebody was telling a lot about mindfulness and meditation. And at that time, I was one of those people that had a million things going on through my head all the time. You know, I'm sure a lot of people out there can relate to that.
Hey, I'm relating to you right
now.
And
I still do. I still do, right? You have a lot of questions, you know, coming up. And in my coaching sessions, same thing sometimes. But there's just so many great things you want to say sometimes, right? But I realized that I, you know, had to give this a shot, even though I didn't know this was for me. So I got an app. And just started practicing. It was very tough. I didn't feel like it was doing anything for a while. But started reading up on mindfulness, meditation, started taking courses. I took the MBSR. I got certified as a mindfulness facilitator. I just saw such a difference. I also brought yoga in my life. And it just, all of that together really helped me feel like more of a calm person. I have tons of energy, so you probably can see when I'm talking with my hands, and I just felt like it just calmed me more, and it let my response be what I want my response to be instead of reacting. And I just saw so many benefits that, you know, that's one of the things I do for corporations. I help bring mindfulness and meditation in because it did wonders for me, and I see how it continues to help people with their stress levels. It's just a nice toolkit to help them, you know, with all the stuff we're facing right now, and especially with burnout. Burnout statistics are crazy. It's, you know, probably 80% of, I think at my last presentation last week, I was talking about how 89% of people are out of whack with their work-life balance. You know, not that I don't believe there's a balance. I think you need to have a synergy and figure out what works best for you. But, you know, everybody's dealing with that. And then I think it was almost 80% are dealing with, you know, chronic stress. And that turns into burnout.
Yeah.
So we need to do something about it. So so that's one of my passions as well, is kind of infusing mindfulness out there in corporations, because I know it does make a difference. It's not the, you know, the total fix-all. You know, culture is really what it comes down to. And that's why I really, on my HR consulting side, really try to have an impact with employee engagement and helping with, like, help get those cultures where it needs to be to really help the employees thrive.
Well, for sure. And I think part of the benefit of mindfulness and finding a practice that works for it is that it does bring the self-awareness piece that you mentioned. And if you have that self-awareness, you either as an employee or as a leader can understand, I think, better what's what's going on in the organization and then make real decisions to actually do something about it. Yeah. So what, where are, when somebody reaches out to you, yeah. let's say like a CEO or, yeah. or a leadership team reaches out to you, what part of this process are they at? Are they suddenly realizing that something is amiss and mm-hmm. maybe they can't put their finger on it, or they're doing some of these, you know, feedback surveys and they're saying something's off. Yeah. We need some help. Like, where do people normally find you? Where do you normally start with? Let's start with a sure. team environment.
Yeah.
When do they normally come to you? Where is the company at?
You mean for mindfulness, like bringing that into the corporation, or do you mean anything in general?
I guess let's start with in general and then maybe sure. kind of how you infuse mindfulness into some of these solutions.
Yeah, absolutely. So sometimes when maybe somebody's getting promoted, a company might come to me for coaching, or a new manager, you know, that's never managed people, or a rising star that they want to give them more opportunity to grow. That's when companies reach out to me to kind of help them with, you know, leadership, executive coaching,
okay,
which is great. And then also if they realize their team needs to, you know, really get to the next level and they're just not getting there and there's some dynamics in there that need to be fixed, a lot of companies come to me for team coaching at that point to see how they can get to their shared goal in a more efficient, more effective, and more collaborative way. So that's like on the corporate side. I have a lot of individuals that maybe are pivoting and trying to figure out what they want. So they come to me directly to work with me. So I do corporate and individual coaching. And then on HR consulting side and corporate training, that always depends on what they're looking for as well.
Sure.
So in a lot of times I've been doing more corporate training. They maybe haven't done any leadership training the last 2+ years. You know, we've been dealing with a lot, especially like small, medium-sized companies. So they're coming to me or just adding to their ERG offerings, their employee resource groups that they have out there. I come in and do trainings to one of my clients there when they need it on different topics. So the great thing is I can customize a lot of things to their needs. So if they say, I need help with productivity, or if they are interested in mindfulness and meditation, I could do something on that. Or if it's anything general, like, you know, with empathy or the listening, you know, deep listening, I kind of can just, you know, I can say whip something up, but put something together that's going to address all of their pain points
okay.
and help them grow in those areas.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. So it's pretty much they're coming to you. Mm-hmm. They have either, in a lot of these cases, either a specific goal in yeah. mind, or mm-hmm. sometimes they've got a goal in mind, but it's their plan isn't currently working. And so yeah. they're looking for, hey, what do we need to do? What do we need to take a look at? What's the approach that we should consider taking? Mm-hmm. How do we coach people to, again, going back to what you said yeah. at the beginning, overcome those mm-hmm. obstacles?
Yeah.
They've got to want it, but how do we help them actually get around this and make the change that they're looking for? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's interesting. So, yeah. How did you know that you enjoyed doing this piece of it? Like getting everybody together to
yeah.
make things more efficient?
You know, I guess I'm just a big people person. So I guess I've always loved being around people and having energy around people.
Okay.
And I realize I do love one-on-one conversations, the deep connection you get. So that's why coaching really gravitated to me. So that's why I knew that was probably a big piece for me. And luckily, I've done a lot of training in my corporate life. So, and I really did enjoy that. I used to always do the new hire orientations. I wanted to keep my speaking, skills up to par, and you know, and I'm glad I did because now I do a lot of speaking and
sure.
I'm in front of the room a lot. It's very easy on Zoom. I feel it's a little bit different, you know, and it's been really nice doing a lot of speaking engagements on Zoom the last couple of years. But it's nice being in front of 150 people like I did last week. Like that was so much energy and great feeling for me.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to do more of those.
Can we talk about
yeah.
that presentation?
Absolutely.
At the conference?
Yeah.
All right. So. Yeah, tell me about it. What was it?
It was the Florida SHRM State Conference. So it's the Human Resource Societies throughout Florida. Everybody comes up for that. It's a once-a-year conference. I am on the national or I should say, the Naples board here. So I'm very committed to them and always go up now that I'm in Florida and support them and be there for them. But this year they picked me and a colleague of mine, Brenda, to speak on mindfulness and meditation. So we were very excited about that. And our take on the presentation was really about you don't have to do the traditional meditation, you know, that everybody thinks about, the deep breathing with your eyes closed for 10 to 15 minutes. If that works for you, great. But you can also incorporate what we called very important pauses throughout the day, taking some time out, doing some micro mindfulness practices throughout the day, whichever ones kind of speak to you. It could be breathing, just to kind of give yourself kind of to cut off that pattern of stress that's happening and get back into the present moment. And if doing those throughout the day, you keep kind of your battery of mindfulness going, so you are better equipped and less stressed.
It's like a muscle that you're training.
Exactly. You're building a habit throughout the day. It's kind of like you want, you know, sometimes it was funny. I was one of my coaching clients is an executive who does mindfulness religiously. He meditates an hour each day. And even though he was used to doing that every morning, he felt like he needed something more. And these mindful moments that he incorporated kind of was a game changer for him, because by the end of the day, his batteries were all, his battery was like uncharged. So these helped him keep the overcharge that he had in the beginning of the day throughout the day.
Got it. So it's not a overload at the beginning. It's like a, I guess a slow burn, like a steady pace that you can actually keep. And okay. So how do you recommend people incorporate stuff like that into their day to day?
Yeah. So one easy way is every time you're done one project before you start another one, after a meeting before you start another meeting, you're seeing a lot of corporations shorten their meeting times. So they're like 25 minutes or 50 minutes. So they give you some time to absorb what you just have, you know, went through and prepare for your next one and then just be. And so you're present for it. So you're not thinking about that last meeting. So there are two ways you can incorporate it. I put reminders in my calendar, which are annoying sometimes, but I want to just make sure I do have these, you know, little mindful moments throughout the day. And you can do all different things. Some people do breathing. Some people might do other things with their senses. You know, there's other ways of, you know, journaling, you know, being having a gratitude list that you kind of, you know, put out there. One of the other creative things that I really like is, you know, each day, how do you want to be? Instead of having a to-do list, how do you want to be list? So how do you want to show up today? You know, maybe you want to show up more present, possibly. Maybe you want to show up more empathetic because you know somebody's going through something really hard. Maybe you want to show up with more confidence because you're doing a podcast today.
Yeah.
You know, figuring out how you want to be that day and kind of embodying it. So.
Okay. That actually makes sense, especially when so when I'll go back and I'll journal or I'll write and do these kind of things to help just get the thoughts that are kind of trapped in your head and going on loop. Something that helps me get outside of that is writing, doing these things, but also having an idea of really what I want to do for that day. In the way that I want to do it. So I kind of do decide how I want to be that day. I get it wrong a lot.
Yeah.
But
at least you're putting some attention to it and you're really trying to be, and you're more aware that you want to be like that throughout the day. So you're being mindful of it.
Yeah, it's not an easy it's not necessarily a hard thing, but it's not a straightforward thing if you don't know what you're looking for and you don't practice it. Because I'll notice that especially writing for me is my thing that helps me get out of my head and do all that stuff. But it's so easy to tell yourself, oh, I'll do that tomorrow, or exactly. I won't practice this, and you don't get in the habit, and then it becomes really difficult to even remember that that's why you're feeling off. The things that you did that made you mindful, you forget to do them. And so how do you personally keep track and stay on track with mindfulness practices and things like that?
So I'm very into yoga. So, you know, at the end of yoga, there's always that couple minutes. So I do count that in that as one of my mindful breaks. And you know, I try to do walks on certain days and really kind of pay attention to the beauty outside, you know, with my eyes focusing on something like that. And that brings mindfulness into me. I like to do it with activities. You know, you can even be mindful when you run if you're kind of really, you know, focusing on one thing that you're thinking about when you're running, if you want to. So I do a lot of physical activities, but, you know, I also do the breathing as well. You know, I try to incorporate that through the day. Stretching as well. Just stretching at your desk is just being mindful, you know, with your body. You know, trying to, you know, everybody's sitting all day in front of screens. So we definitely need to stretch. And just, you know, just moving a little bit will get you kind of feeling good and more calm. You know, you just feel much better, as you know, after you stretch.
Totally.
And then, you know, there's little – it's funny, like, you know, if you ever just rub your hands together, you'll just realize that you're focusing on your hands rubbing together and nothing else. Like there's certain things like that that just, you know, get you focused and you forget whatever else you're thinking about for that moment and get you in the present moment. And that's what you're trying to do.
Yeah, there are those small things that you can do. So what do you feel like, so implementing these practices in your day-to-day, especially when you take it back to the workplace, right? Mm-hmm. What impact does some sort of mindfulness practice have on your ability to manage time, the ability to solve problems, to work together with other people? I mean, what impact does it have for you? And then what impact do you see when people actually implement this into their organization?
Absolutely. I think for me, and I think for others as well too, you're showing up as your best self. And that's what you want. You want to show up as your best self in the work environment, in your home environment, everything you're doing. You want to show up as you want to. And I think it does that. And I think it helps embodies and, you know, a great leadership presence, like the best you can bring as well too. And everybody's trying to have a great leadership presence. So I think bringing this into your everyday and having habits with this will just, you know, elevate your leadership to yourself and to others.
Got it. And it goes back into that self-awareness piece that you were talking about, is if I'm aware of myself, I can be more aware of what's actually going on around me. And then, so if you can implement these things, then it actually has a impact, like it has a real impact on the quiet quitting, on these communications that you have with your team and things like that. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, you're actually hearing them. I think a lot of times you're having conversations and you're really not present for them. You're thinking about all the million other things you have to do, but you're really listening. And sometimes people aren't exactly saying what they want you to hear. And I think it really just helps that out. And I think we need a little bit more listening skills more than ever in this environment.
For sure.
Yeah.
I think with all the work from home stuff and with everybody being so online focused now, it is very easy to not relate to other people.
Yeah.
And it might be easier now than ever before to not relate to other people.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. I know that – so you've got the mindfulness pieces of this, and you're coaching people through these different aspects of their work-life balance and helping them manage that. Is there – what else do you focus on in your practice when you're working with either companies or individuals? Is there any other key pieces that you focus on?
Yeah. In most cases, it's increasing leadership in a lot of ways, and a lot with new managers, you know, realizing that they need training to get where they need to go to be the best leader they can for the team. It's really great that we're really promoting, you know, younger into these great positions, but they need the help to get there. So kind of putting a plan together for, you know, new managers, and it's training and coaching together. It's kind of a combination I've been doing with that because it's so important. And then just bringing the team together, you know, maybe for more team building things, you know, helping them be self-aware and understand each other. So I also do one of the assessments that I use in coaching is Productive Index. So in some of the cases, it's very similar to DISC and all of the other ones. You know, everybody has their one that gravitate to. But I like this one because it kind of shows, you know, when the whole team does it, you can see kind of a team visual of where everybody's at and what, you know, their archetype is and how they work together. And I think kind of just understanding each other so everybody can work more collaboratively together, because we need each other to get everything done. So doing a lot, and that's kind of self-awareness activities, you know, with the team to really understand each other so they can know who to go to And then figuring out strengths and weaknesses and who to leverage when you do have, you know, these opportunities that you need to grow on, who can you leverage as well in the process?
Yeah, I think that's a critical point. And I think if teams can understand that, even if it's not the team themselves, even if it's the leadership mm-hmm. who is managing a team can understand that, you can put people in the right places to handle the right things. And I think avoid burnout like we were talking about at the beginning. I mean, what role do you see that playing in avoiding a lot of these issues that these companies are facing now?
I think we're taking time and really getting people into learning, getting motivated, and, you know, even if they're doing a little bit more work, they'll be okay if they have this mindfulness, you know, things that they're doing, or the stress is not there as, you know, as much, and they're talking to people, they're really understanding them and trying to meet them halfway at least, or, you know, even more if they can, to help with all the concerns they really have right now with their work-life balance, work-life synergy, whatever you want to call it. Or, you know, with helping them with their personal right now, because so many people have some really major things going on.
For sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, so I guess before we kind of wrap this up, is there anything else that we should hit on? Is there anything else that's like critical to this?
No, I think we covered a lot of the great points that I wanted to really talk about with my business and what I'm doing out in the, you know, local community across the United States.
Nice. So if somebody wants to work with you, what's the best way that they can get in touch with you? And then what does the process look like maybe for individuals? And then what does it look like for companies and teams? How do they start working with you, and what can they kind of expect from that process?
Yeah, absolutely. My website's always a great place to find me, and I'm also on all the social, especially on LinkedIn, but I do have presence on Facebook and Instagram, so Melissa Severance, come look for me. And my website is inspirebigdreams.com. To start, when you start working with me, you know, we do a discovery first off to see if it makes sense, if I'm the right coach for you, or I'm the right trainer or the right consultant. I want to make sure that we both are in line with what needs to be done and you feel confident and that we're going to be able to get there together. So kind of going through that discovery process, it could be a half an hour call, it could be an hour Zoom, or it could, you know, be a few, whatever you guys need to kind of really figure out what is really the need and what would be the best path forward. In most cases, my coaching engagements are 3 months, 6 months. I also have some that go on for years. Just depends on really what we're going after. It could just be a goal that, you know, in 3 months, I want to do this. It could just be overall leadership or to get a promotion in a year or 2 years. Everybody has certain goals, so I customize it and see how, you know, it's best for them.
Got it.
So it could be a session every week, every 2 weeks, every month when it's more at the executive level. It all depends. So
gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So you end up meeting with them, figuring out what their actual, I guess in this case, what their problem is, how much time and resources they have to get this done and what that timeline looks like. And then you start executing with them and then help them along the way.
Yeah.
But initially it starts off with that self-awareness, the self-assessment. Yeah. How do I know who I am so I could start to build out a plan for who I am and who I want to be?
I love everybody doing a self-assessment in the beginning of the process because it helps them just remind them, you know, about themselves. Some people are very self-aware, so they might not need it. But for me, it's also helpful to know more about that person and how I can help them and what might work better. You know, different, you know, exercises or tools or different things along those lines.
Nice.
So helps me along the way.
And then you can have people like me who I think I'm very self-aware and then I take tests and I realize I'm not that as self-aware as I thought. And then you're like, this guy's going to be a problem.
Hey, you know, it's always good to ask others what they think, see if you're on track, right? You know, so self-assessment could be wrong. You never know.
They always come back and they tell me I have all these problems. And I'm like,
sure,
no, I don't have any of these problems. I'm perfect. And
exactly.
Yeah. These are the kind of people you got to deal with.
Yeah. I'm good with it. Don't worry.
So. Yeah. I can take it. Cool. All right. Yeah. Well, anything else before we wrap up?
No, thank you so much. I really appreciate, you know, being on today, having this conversation. It was a great time.
Yeah. Thank you for coming and doing this. I'm glad I got to learn about it because it's reminding me of a couple key pieces that as I have a, like I now have a team of two. Yeah. I have a part-time person, but it is getting me thinking about, okay, yeah, am I paying attention to what I'm doing during my day? Am I paying attention to these things? How do I actually translate that into making a solid work environment? How does that look like in terms of my communication? How do I like provide that for other people as this thing grows and scales? So yeah, thank you for the reminder.
That's what I'm trying to do, get you to think about that stuff. So I think I did my job today.
Sweet.
So thank you.
I think so too. Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, thank you, Melissa. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Chris. Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Southwest Florida Podcasts. If you're a business in Southwest Florida and you want to use a podcast to grow your business, scan the QR code on your screen or visit the link in the show notes at www.swflpodcast.com.